Continues our discussion. And I'm not going to play into this mind in the gutter talk any longer.
Yeah, get out of the gutter, people. I've been reading
water bottles.
I'm generally interested in, because I think everybody's different. Some people like the little baby bottles. What's a normal water bottle? Just like if you buy it at the store. Is it
16 or 20 ounces? 16 or 20.
There's like an 8-ounce bottle. The ones that are real crinkly. When you open it, it's crinkly. Do you know what I'm talking about? You open it up and you can crush it because it's not that hard plastic. It's more of the soft. I think that's 8 or 10 ounces.
16.
I don't think it's 16, but I digress.
We can fight about this if you want. This is 17 right here. This one.
Yeah, that's a big bottle, though. That's a big jug.
Like you, I like big jugs of water or flavored water. 844-770-3776 is the talk and text line. I want to publicly apologize to Alex, who I forced to hold on through the break because I wasn't reading my text messages properly. Let's talk to Alex in Milwaukee. He's got some advice for Tausch on the water bottle front. Hi,
Mr.
Alex.
Wilde,
how are you?
Mr. Tausch, how are you doing? I'm doing all right.
Doing great.
I have to say there are 2 points. The first, what's the cleaning regimen for these Nalgenes? I do know that if
Good
you heat them up in the dishwasher, they can break. Secondly, I know you're tired of it, Mr. Wilde, but... try big synthetic jugs. Those Yetis, the insulated jugs are amazing.
Oh.
Synthetic
I'm with
jugs.
Wait, no, I'm with
That's
Alex.
That's different. Synthetic jugs.
Whoa, Nelly!
Interesting.
I don't really have any experience with synthetic jugs. Alex and the Yeti. There's also Swell bottles that are metal that also are insulated. I am a huge proponent because I like my water ice cold,
yeah.
Like barely unfrozen. Like if they could put the Coors Light Mountains on other beverages, I want that technology on my bubbler drink or my sparkling ice drink to know, all right, it's really cold. I'm going to drink it now.
Mm.
I'm jealous of you and your Coors Light. Yeti and Swell bottles are both really good at like you put it in really cold. It's amazing. It's still cold like 9 hours later.
The problem with those, and yes, they keep it warm. I get that. It's great technology. But I think we all understand when you're lugging around the jugs, water, or whatever it is, you're going to drop it, and then if it's metal, you're going to ding it up. It's going to – that's where I like to be able to have a handle on it of some sort. I don't think they've come up with a good one yet handle-wise when you're dealing with the metallic part. I don't think that's the case.
I think I – all right. So here's what I'll do. And Jesse's got more research for us along with some more information, I'm sure.
And I don't think the Nalgene – I do not believe you have to hand wash. Well, then the other question is, how often do you hand wash? Because you got to get the brush. You got to get in there because it's all crusted in the bottom part.
How? Let's be honest. This is an additional workload for Sarah.
No. I want.
Right?
No.
You wash your own jugs?
Yes. I wash my own jugs. Absolutely.
I'm such a I'm such a teenager today with this discussion.
Yeah, I don't know why you're going this road, but
yeah, I don't know either. I apologize.
Water
profusely.
Bottles. Water bottles.
Yes, water bottles. Water bottles. All right. So you're cleaning them. You're willing to do the work, but you don't want to be burdened with the amount of frequency cleaning wise for your new jug.
Yeah, I want something that's going to keep it cold, that's going to be easy to handle, and is going to contain a lot of quantity. Those are my big
issues. I have,
and durability. Durable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have your jug.
Okay.
In fact,
and
I'll get it to you. You are rough on your jugs. I know. We've established that.
That's true.
Let me, during the next commercial break, I will go upstairs and get it.
Okay.
I will take a photo of it. We'll tweet it out. I don't know the brand. Paula's very good about this. She is extremely, extremely, I don't want to say pressuring, because that's the wrong word, but she wants to make sure we are all hydrated. So she is very, very regimented. You got to be drinking water. Now, one of my children does a great job with it. One of them, not so great. I am somewhere in the middle. But she wants us to always be properly hydrated. We have so many jugs in our house, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's because the tumblers become a very popular giveaway gift at different events. Tumble City up there. But I am not seeing Nalgene. We're low on Nalgenes. I am starting to think, because it is, water's great. We all love water. I'm thinking seriously about asking from Santa this year a soda stream. One of those where you get the flavored waters, you pop it in. I think that's what I might ask. Now, I know supply chain issues are happening, as we mentioned with Pella. They don't have those issues, but a lot of other people do. I don't know if it'll get here in time, but I'm thinking SodaStream might be what I'm looking for the holiday season.
I am going to predict that if Santa brings that to you, it will go the way of the juicer and the bread maker and everything else. The magic bullet.
Yeah.
And it will end up going unused. And it'll be donated to Goodwill within 5 years. That's my prediction.
Okay.
I will go check our jug supply and find the one that I think is right for you. We'll share that on the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed. If you have other advice for Tausch.
Jesse, how much water do you like to have carried around with you? Because Jason and I both like big jugs. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm actually more of a smaller jug preference myself. I don't like when it's too difficult to walk around with. Like, I like having it just a little more easy to, I can keep it in your pocket and have it in your backpack.
You want to be able to put your jugs in your pockets?
Yeah.
So you like the skinny, bottleneck bottle where you could put it in, a little holder on those backpacks on the side container?
That is absolutely my number one preference.
I'd rather have the clip where you clip the big jug with the, the little ladle deal. I keep forgetting. It's just called the handle, I guess, right? The little strap?
It'd be the handle.
Yeah. I thought the loop, that you used the word loop earlier.
Yes,
I thought that was a pretty good word,
handle.
Too.
Yeah.
Sure. Pool or a pond.
I've heard of it.
So we will get this solved. Tausch is, he's a man ahead of his time. He may be behind the curve on his jugs, but he was ahead of the curve, ahead of MVS, which, hey, let's be honest, it is hard to get ahead of MVS because he's really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Although not lately because he's had a hamstring injury. We'll talk a little bit about MVS's view of the Green Bay Packers and how it fits with Tausch's view coming up next. But when it comes to being ahead of the curve, be ahead of the snow curve, too. Get your Aaron's snow thrower now before the snow flies. Go to Aaron's.com. Find the one that fits both your budget and the amount of snow you're going to have to clear. Big driveway, small driveway, long sidewalk, short sidewalk. Find the right Aaron's snow thrower for you at Aarons.com or your local authorized Aarons dealer. And if you've already enjoyed the beauty of having an Aarons snow thrower, well, make sure it's tuned up before the snow falls. Again, if you can do it yourself, great. I'm not one of those people. But if you can do it, awesome. Make sure it's ready because you never know when that first snowfall is falling. If you're not able to do it yourself like me, take it to your Aarons dealer and make sure it's ready to go. Again, Aarons.com. Tausch's take and MVS's take on this Green Bay Packers team. Similar? I think so. You'll find out next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Show me how to love. Maybe I'm going through a drought. You don't even have to do too much. You can turn me on.
I don't know how big my jug is here. 32 ounces, maybe? Is that not going to be big enough for you?
No, sir. Mix a lot. That's a good number.
This is Sydney's. She loves it, and it combines both large volume with keeping it cold. It's got a handle.
It does.
It's got a handle. I know you want a handle.
I feel like that handle, though, is going to be prohibitive because you got to slide the handle down every time. I want ease. Yeah, Jesse.
And you want a straw? You don't want a wide mouth because it's also got a wide mouth.
No, straws. Try to be environmentally conscious. No straws for me.
All right, so wide mouth, also fitting the bill.
It's a good mouth. It's a good-sized mouth on there. Yep.
I have a text from a 262 number that has not provided his or her name. But between the PP&J on Monday and the Big Jugs conversation today, we are making this person's week. So they are very much enjoyed the conversations we've had this week.
I can only assume it's a 14-year-old boy who just started high school and likes these types of conversations. Let's talk a little bit of football, shall we? Briefly, before we get back to Tausch's love of water bottles. Jesse, you were on Twitter yesterday. So was Tausch. I did not see this till you guys sent it to me. What does MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, say about this Green Bay Packers roster?
And I quote, "Like, let's be real for a minute here. There's not a better quarterback, running back, wide receiver trio in the NFL better than 12, 33, 17. Right?" MVS on Twitter last night.
I'll say this. He ain't wearing a blue hat when he says that. Is that right? The blue hat bit is when you're lying? Is that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, he's 100% right. And honestly,
Capping. There you go.
I honestly, if you don't put tight end in the equation, which he hasn't, I don't even think it's close. Like, who's next on that list? I think it's
Tampa?
Rodgers, Jones, Devontae, because Devontae has clearly, anybody that disagrees with this, just didn't watch in film, has clearly established himself as the best of the best. People are going to argue Rodgers or not. You know what? Every GM and coach, if they had to, and I think this would maybe even include Andy Reid, with 37 seconds left and you need a field goal, they're all picking old boy to go do it. Privately. Publicly, obviously, they won't. So you got Rodgers, Devontae, and Aaron Jones. I don't think I can even put anybody else in the same tier as those three.
Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Clyde Edwards-A is hurt, and no, it's not. No. Hill is, he is not in the same, he's a good wide receiver. But what has happened once people have started playing him too deep? They're not letting anything get behind him. He's not dominating. What, he had five catches for 25 yards or something last week? Devontae's getting double and tripled. What did he put up last week? Somebody can remind me.
11 catches, 206 yards. And
say it again. My ears are out.
11 catches, 206 yards.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
My ears are out.
Yeah.
All right. So your leading rushers for this season, because I think if we can find a team with a really good running back, that would be where I would start, because there's a lot of good quarterbacks and there's a lot of good wide receivers. None as good as Devontae Adams, in my opinion. Right now, leading the NFL in rushing, Derrick Henry, followed by Nick Chubb. Well, Derrick Henry, his quarterback is
disqualified. He's not even a top 15 quarterback. So move
right.
on.
And wide receiver Julio Jones, their best receiver.
Yeah, he hasn't played.
Nick Chubb of Cleveland. His quarterback is Baker Mayfield.
Hey.
Not sure
next.
What they're doing at wide receiver.
Jason, next.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, Dak is good.
Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper,
okay,
or CeeDee Lamb, both good.
Yeah. If you want to go receiving core, that's an argument you can win. You ain't winning with the top three, though.
I agree. Real quickly, a few more running backs just so we can finish this up. James Robinson of Jacksonville. Okay. No.
No.
Joe Mixon, Cincinnati. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase.
No.
Maybe in 5 years.
Maybe.
Maybe at
Alvin
LSU.
Kamara of New Orleans.
He's good.
Not with. I mean, Michael Thomas, has he started to play yet? I don't think he has.
He has not played. No.
Austin Eckler of the Los Angeles Chargers.
All right.
With now Keenan Allen and
now
Justin
you're
Herbert.
Somewhere. Okay, you have just found the number two team.
Do you want me to keep going, or are you tired of this?
I'm not tired of it, but I think most people want to talk Jugs and PP&J. But no, listen, there's a lot of up-and-coming guys. There is. But what MVS is basically saying is what I've been saying. This team is stacked.
Have you said that? I haven't heard that before.
I've heard it a bunch.
Stacked and Jugs. The top three of that combination, I agree with you, and I agree with MVS on that. When you said receiving core, though, now MVS is part of that, and he's missed three games, and he's going to miss another one because I guess you haven't activated him yet. How do you view their receiving core? I mean,
their receiving core is not the top receiving core in the league. I'm not saying that. It's not the worst, like some people think, but there are holes. But when you're just talking about the triplets, which is where this conversation is going, you think of what the Cowboys had in the 90s. Green Bay's triplets, and Aaron Jones would be the weakest link of the three, which tells you a lot because Aaron Jones is really good.
Yeah.
And then you factor in A.J. Quadzilla Dillon. That's pretty good. So I think the Chargers and probably the Cowboys would be your only two. I think you got Green Bay here, you got Chargers, you got Cowboys, and then maybe the Chiefs. There's your next. And then you could probably put the Buccaneers with Fournette. He's probably in that tier two also. But there is nobody on the same tier as where the Green Bay Packers are.
And the key part to this is leaving tight ends out of the mix and making it a big three.
Yeah, I think so. Because there's tight ends. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you Travis Kelce's not a lot better than Bob Tonyan. He just is. Those are facts. It's tough for me to – I can't make that argument in good faith. Bob Tonyan is a good tight end. I think his numbers are going to get better and better as this O-line gets its veteran all-pro players back.
If you put in tight ends, when are we going to see Robert Tonyan – be back to being someone who would help your argument? Once they stop having to use him to chip?
I think that's going to help him a bunch. I do. I do think the Randall Cobb component of this, I think some of those catches that Randall Cobb has had probably would have been more spearheaded towards Bob Tonyan.
Yeah. It was something that we discussed with Justin Outen, the tight ends coach, yesterday, and I am sure that we will discuss it further in the coming days because they need to get Robert Tonyan more involved. He was a really important part of what they
did
last year.
And all we've been hearing about is red zone, aggressive, aggressive, aggressive.
That's an area where it would matter.
Well, you know where a lot of that production was last year, Jason?
Red zone.
Bad, big, bad Bob. It's time to get BBB. Big Bad Bob's going to have a three-tutter game here shortly. Don't know when, but he's going to have a three-tutter in the near future. Maybe not this weekend, but soon.
We also want to hear from Matt LaFleur talking a little bit about going back to Chicago for the first time with fans, since obviously they played in an empty stadium last year in Chicago. and what he thinks about that. We'll hear from him coming up. You know, we were at Steinhoffel's last Friday in Madison at the High Crossing Boulevard store. Or is that High Point Road?
Ah, oh, you had it. High Crossing Boulevard.
Trust yourself, okay, man.
Should have trusted myself. You should trust Steinhoffel's with your next career move if you're looking to change careers. Steinhoffel's is hiring right now. We got a bunch of friends that work at Steinhoffel's. We don't need to look them up on LinkedIn. We know they're there. By the way, Alex, who called earlier, now has sent me a LinkedIn message. This LinkedIn thing is just taking off like crazy. Steinhoffel's, you can put Steinhoffel's as your employer on your LinkedIn profile if you apply and get a job at Steinhoffel's now. They're hiring for several positions in their Waukesha warehouse. They're also hiring delivery drivers in both Waukesha and Kenosha. Family-owned, family-run, employee-owned company. They offer flexible four-day work weeks, great benefits, competitive pay, and opportunities to grow. Steinhoffel's looking for customer-focused team players who work as hard as they play. If you're interested in a career change, go to steinhoffels.com/careers. To find out more. What did Matt LaFleur say about playing at Soldier, or as Tausch likes to call it, Soldier's Field? We'll hear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
LaFleur. With the way their offense is going, they're stopping short of their destination. Am I right?
Nice.
They get within a few blocks and then they have to stop. Boy, he did not like the questions about the red zone. Like, he got agitated. That whole stats are for losers thing, which you may hear a little bit later in the program if you stick around. Now, it was because we were talking about the red zone. Hey, man, you guys have set the bar. 80% touchdown rate last year.
What they did last year was just sick. I mean, it was so good. And unfortunately, it was the demise of the season, too, not getting it done when you're expecting it.
Right.
The red zone is, in today's football, it's everything. Because you're going to give up yards. It's just too hard to play really good defense against good teams. You got to clamp down. And that's why the concern level for this Packers defense, that's where it is. They're sieve-like once they get inside the 20 on the other end. And on our end, the offense has come back to reality a little bit. And I do think Bob Tonyan, the big thing there is I think they get a little pass happy and they have not quite figured out that they need to keep running the football to keep that two-way go, if you will. And all you kept hearing, and this again is messaging. Aggressive. Be aggressive. Be. That's all you hear.
Aggressive.
I think that means you're going to see more shots early than running. I think once you get in that gold zone, as they call it, I think you're going to see more shots being thrown.
Well, we'll get to more breaking down their productivity, but Matt LaFleur's not worried about the red zone. What he's worried about is those Chicago fans and how tough it is to play at Soldier Field. Here is Matt LaFleur this morning on Drive Time with Matt LaFleur on 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee.
I still have nightmares from the last time we went there with fans. I expected to be an electric environment. You know, the fans are going to be going crazy. This is a team that has a lot of momentum right now, winning two straight. So I think it's going to be a pretty chaotic environment, and our guys are going to have to thrive throughout the chaos.
Throughout the chaos. Chaos and mayhem. I'm sorry. I've covered a lot of games in Chicago. I'm not going this Sunday, but I have covered a lot. Is that one of the toughest places to play? You played 11 years. I think of Seattle. I think of Kansas City. I think of Minnesota. I think of New Orleans. Chicago?
No.
Nightmares?
Chicago is a great place to play. It is, you know, other than the turf being a lot worse, it's
maybe
like
nightmares Lampo. About the turf.
It is so fun. You know, A, it's great. You get to go down to Chicago. I always love the old, you know, this is a business trip. Don't go shopping. I don't want guys bringing bags back. And literally every person is lugging bags back. If you lose, everybody tries to jam them in their duffel bags because you don't want to be that guy after you get beat by 21 points shoving gifts into the overhead column because you know those guys, the coaches and Russ Ball, everybody's up there looking like, oh, look at this guy didn't take it. So that's always, I always cracked up with that part of it. But the food, you got great restaurants. You go every year. So, you know, we'd go to the Big and Tall shop and we'd know the gal that runs it. She'd welcome us with open arms. We'd get new outfits. It's a great place to play. There's really nothing chaotic about it, in my opinion. It is a fun rivalry. Now, is it you play in? It seemed like we always played in December down there. And other than 07, which was just a complete, you talk about a house of horrors. That was that day. It is a great place to play. Fun and I would disagree with Coach LaFleur on the fact that it's not a chaotic. You mentioned it, Seattle, and there's no place more chaotic than that old dump, the Metrodome. That was chaotic.
So, I don't know, maybe he was just, let's remember, that was his first game as the Packers head coach. It was the opener of the 2019 season.
That can be chaotic. You got concerts coming in, you got long half times. All right.
So I do think that maybe that is why it was more nightmarish for him. I mean, he was pretty excited. He was hugging anybody and everybody after he won. I can speak to that. But he...
Did you get a big old hug?
Yeah, it was one of those awkward moments where you're like, wait a minute, what's happening right now?
We're just
so happy. That's a great question, Jason.
Why are you getting hugged after the game? That's...
We crossed paths post-game, because remember, we were in the locker room and whatever, and he must have done some other interview, so we're in the caverns of Soldier Field, and we're walking towards each other, and I approached him, I was going to shake his hand and say, hey, congratulations on your first win, and instead, he took my hand and pulled me in and gave me the bro hug.
We're all in this sucker together, that's for sure.
Wow. We are all in this sucker together.
You guys are friends. Good friends.
It was a little unexpected, and he's never lied to me, as far as I know, as well. So he was really excited. He was obviously really nervous for his first game. I don't think he's being accurate about that.
Yeah, I venture to say that when, after this game on Sunday, a noon kick, it ain't going to be anything like that chaotic Thursday night. There is something. The Thursday night game, it's your first. Of course there's going to be chaos with that. He is going to look back and say, I love going to Chicago to play football. It is a great place to go play. It's a fun city to visit. And it's even more fun when you go down there and win. But that is not a place where players, especially O-linemen, you ask O-linemen, they'll tell you how chaotic stuff is. That's not that's not even in the top 20 when it comes to noise and having to deal with stuff.
So I know in honor of him calling it a nightmare that Jesse has one of his favorite games that he'd like to bring back out of the Halloween mothballs.
Well, Dunzo's done, right? We can't do two appearances by Dunzo in one game.
No. Dunzo's done. This is not a Dunzo game.
But before that, I do have one follow-up question that I would like to ask about your Chicago shopping sprees.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I love the fact that there was an awkwardness about... I don't want to bring too many bags. Like, you know, I got my Bloomingdale's bag and my Nike store bag and my Crate and Barrel bag.
It's so funny because everybody, like Sherm or even I think Mike, we'd get there early because, you know, it's only a 30-minute flight from Green Bay. So when we always, because we're all creatures of habit, we still leave at the same time if we're flying to down to Dallas or if we're flying to Chicago. We're leaving at 12:45 because that's what we do. So you get down there, it's 1:30. You're like, well, it's too early to eat dinner. I don't want to just sit in the hotel. You want to get out and about. And there's great shopping there. So you go out, but when he made a point to it, say, I don't want guys bringing back Christmas presents and all this other stuff. And then literally, I think I don't know if we lost. And I just remember, I guarantee you, every player's judging like, huh, we probably lost that game because Hannibal Navies went to the Gap and picked up a bunch of clothes. Like, oh, there's one. Oh, sure enough. Come on, Hannibal, your son. Niall Diggs, what are you doing? Heading over and getting a new watch. Like, what are you thinking? There is a lot of judgment going on with guys shoving stuff up in the bins.
We lost because Hannibal Navies went to the Gap. Like, first of all, Hannibal, very nice guy, yep. Linebacker. Never thought I would hear his name ever again, frankly, but I heard it today. And he didn't go to Old Navy, he went to the Gap, which is an affiliate of Old Navy. All right, so my question is, a lot of the wives and girlfriends would also go on that trip because yes. of the great shopping.
Yep.
Was the savvy move to send back the purchases with them so you didn't have to take it on the flight? Because I do remember, because we would stay, and they don't stay there anymore, so I can say it now. We would stay at the Westin on Michigan Avenue right by the John Hancock building.
Yes, we'd stay
so
there.
So it was such a convenient shopping location, and you would just see guys coming back with, you know, the handle shopping bags. Yep. And I never went in there because it was out of my price range, but literally right around the corner from the hotel was a Louis Vuitton store, and there were always people with lots more discretionary income going there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the smart thing to do, but it was just, it would get brought to attention. Like, we in a yes. team meeting, it gets yes. brought up, and we're all like, yeah, you know, I would typically get a couple things from the big and tall shop, and then I could stuff it in my duffel bag. I wasn't carrying bags, especially if we lost. No, because you bring them in the locker room because you got to bring it. You don't know right. what bus you're on. You got to bring everything in the locker room. I think, Sherm was never real pleased about that piece of it, but I'm surprised they don't stay at the Westin. The best corned beef hash breakfast you're going to find. At the Westin. Great corned beef hash.
Yes, and they also have the really good skinny fries at the restaurant. I would just quickly add this. That game in 2007 where Favre didn't look like he wanted to be there and wouldn't come off the sideline because it was so bitterly cold.
Uh-huh.
That game was played on December 23rd. So I'm guessing that year was one of the years presents. Where there was judgment going on because you bought all your family members Christmas
yeah,
gifts
that was one of those,
on that trip.
I feel like at that point we had kind of, things had been sealed too. We knew where we were playing. We knew we were going to be the two seed. We weren't catching
yeah.
Dallas because right. Dallas had already only one loss and they beat us head to head in the yep. Rodgers game. And yep. that was just one of those deals where I had a bad feeling when people were coming in from the locker, from the field, saying, oh, I don't know, man. It's pretty cold. It's not a good sign. And we played like it.
Brett Favre literally staying on the sideline while the other 10 players were in the huddle. And no, then coming
and
out.
And Jason, there was also, it was the only time I ever ran out on the field. Because, you know, the TV breaks are, what, 4 or 5 minutes, 3, 4 minutes. And typically the O-line will run out there. The receivers will stay, get their hands warmed up, even sometimes the quarterback. But I went out there, and there was one time I was the only guy that went out. Early in the game, and then I thought, what is going on here? And then we all stayed back. And then at that point you knew, this day ain't going well.
We've lost this game.
But you
it
remember
is the coldest I've ever been.
Coldest game I ever played in. The long snapping, the wind literally moved the football, and I think we got a punt blocked, and it wasn't because it was a bad snap. It literally, the wind was 35, 40 miles an hour going sideways.
Yep. The temperature was minus 18 that day. Temperature, not wind chill.
Yeah.
Wind chill in the minus 40s.
And you know what? You wake up at the West and you go out, and it doesn't feel that bad because you're insulated in the city. And then you go out, you walk out of the locker room, and you're like, what in the... I think I'm gonna do my stretching inside today. We did, and man, was that a thumping.
That was fluky, and the wind was a little spooky, and we're bringing back One of Jesse's favorite games. If only we could incorporate jersey numbers into it. Spooky or fluky?
Yes!
Is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Find recipes and learn about their story at titosvodka.com. Keep my head up high.
Now, I feel like I'm setting myself up for the ESPN NFL countdown music to be played in my ear. But do we have special music for spooky or fluky?
We do. Like, for real, we do. Not...
Not you tricking me.
Not the special music, but we got special music.
All right, well then let's do it. Let's play with Halloween fast approaching. Spooky or fluky?
Oh! Spooky or fluky? We played this game one time around Christmas, because everyone said, why'd you play it at Christmas? But it's back because someone texted the other day and said you should bring Spooky or Fluky back for Halloween. So back by popular demand.
How do we get to, like, how did
one
you,
text.
How did you come up with Spooky or Fluky? Because I think they're very similar. It's not like hot or cold. I don't quite understand where this game originated.
Very different, Tausch. So I'm going to read you a statistic, which may or may not
be rhyme.
For losers.
Let's be honest.
I will read you a piece of information, and you tell me whether it's fluky. That'll sort itself out. Not really an issue. That's
or it
fluky.
Scares you.
Or if it's legitimately scary news, then it's spooky.
Okay.
And remember, if it's spooky, you have to tell us that it's not just spooky, it's spooky. Piece of information number one. Davante Adams, a year after catching 18 touchdown passes, has caught 2 in 5 weeks. Spooky or fluky? Tausch?
Fluky. I think that's fluky. I thought 18 last year was, I don't want to say fluky, but that's an aberration. That's more than I think with the amount of attention he's going to get. But the fact that his catch, I don't know how many catches he has on the year, it's substantial. To only have 2 tuds, that is a little fluky to me. I think you're going to see that cranked up because as we listen to the brass up in Green Bay talk, A-Rod, Devontae, and Matt LaFleur, they're all pretty much in unison. I'm guessing there's going to be a couple fun little tricks that they have up their sleeve for the old Chicago Bears this weekend.
I'm going to say that it's spooky.
Ooh.
But here's why. It's spooky. Because guess what happened last year when he had 18 touchdowns? Through 5 games? Do you know how many he had? 2.
Oh, that is spooky.
That's spooky. Wow. Now, in fairness, he missed 2 games. Missed 2 games. Saints and Falcons. But by the time they had finished 5 games as a team, he only had 2 touchdown catches. In the games that followed, 2-3-1-1-1-1-2-1. So he was getting touchdowns every week after that. He'll have to do it again.
Aaron Rodgers has not thrown more than 5 interceptions since 2017, but he's already thrown 3 in 2021. Spooky or fluky?
Fluke. fluky. That's fluky. He's not going to throw a ton of picks. And if he does, it's going to be tip balls. Yes, he threw a bad pick last week. I am not, of everything about this team that you can be concerned about, the last thing, and why I thought LaFleur really was just out of sorts last week, not going for the gusto after that interception in overtime, that's why. This is fluky. And if Rodgers throws 7 picks this year, I'll be surprised. And he's already got 3.
Once again, spooky. If we set the over-under at 5, he's got 3. Now, he had 2 pretty quickly last season as well. Are you taking the over or the... Let's do 5.5. Over or under on interceptions for Aaron Rodgers. 5.5.
Over. 7 is the number.
Yeah, I was going to say 7. So we're on the same page. So, hey, if those come at inopportune times, that's very spooky.
Chip in Cedarburg texts in, so bad, make it stop. No, Chip. A year after finishing 29th in Rick Goslin's special teams rankings, the Packers are 31st this season in kickoff return yardage. Spooky or fluky, Tausch?
I don't think it's either. It's just, it is what it is. What's the is what it is sound effect?
We don't have one of those.
It is what it is.
It is spooky. Because special teams in Green Bay, for as much as we want and we hope that it improves, so far, not so much. The kicking game, obviously, Mason made a game winner last week, but field goals have been blocked. They've been close to being blocked. It's still a mess. And that is the spooky, if as a Packer fan that wants to win a championship, that should spook everybody. Because those plays are what deter, those plays change playoff games. So I'm spooked a little bit.
I'm going to say fluky. I don't think kickoff return average is a great way to measure whether your special teams are any good or not. I actually think that Kylan Hill is going to turn out to be pretty good at it, considering he didn't do it in college. He needs to stop jumping over people because he's going to get himself hurt like he almost did a couple weeks ago. I do believe that by season's end, this is my big, bold, Rob DeBoldski prediction, that we are going to say that their special teams is not a hindrance to their success. I am.
That
I think
is
their
the
coverage teams
team.
Are going to get better.
I think
they're
going to
get
better.
Something out of returns.
They're going to be a top 5 team, special teams?
What, am I crazy?
No. So what's better, top 20, if they're 26th? You're
Let's
happy?
Say top 12.
That's something.
Top 12. That's something better than 29.
It is.
Significant improvement. That's where I'm going. That's it for spooky and fluky.
That would be quite a treat and not a trick, wouldn't it? Oh, one more.
That's strange. That sounds like that sounds strangely similar to the hunt for Crew October.
No.
Almost as if Connery is now celebrating Halloween. Go ahead.
People who turn their garage into a haunted house for trick-or-treating. Spooky or fluky?
Creepy.
I love it. So I'm guessing. But then, again, this is where I don't know if spooky or fluky is good or bad. That's where I'm struggling with this.
It would
game.
Be spooky.
All right, I'm going to say it's spooky. Have some fun with it. Don't have anybody like running a real chainsaw or having a real axe. But if you can get people a little bit riled up and have some fun with it, yes, I think it's fantastic.
I think it's weird. Decorate your yard. You don't need to turn your garage into a haunted house. Sorry, I'm out.
Jason, if That's he was it. A ghost, wouldn't say boo. He would say poo-poo.
With nice little pumpkin-shaped PP&J sandwiches. That's it for spooky, fluky, creepy, weepy. And the 10 o'clock hour of Will Dean's house.
I still don't get this game. I still don't understand it.
Tausch? Mm-hmm. You've made that abundantly clear.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
The 11 o'clock hour begins in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Will Dean's Tausch.